Thursday, 1 October 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church, located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in Acts chapter 9 as we journey with Saul of Tarsus as he meets the Lord and he is saved. He meets Jesus Christ, and is wonderfully born again and immediately recognizes him as his Lord. Father, do bless us now. Speak to my heart and the hearts of all of our listeners. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice, if you will, that two questions Saul of Tarsus asked of the Lord when he met him. And then we're going to see there were two men, among others, that God used in Saul's life to prepare him and bring him to where he would have him to be. And how important are those associations that God provides for us after we get saved? I'm looking forward to telling you about a dear couple, a Navy couple, that God was used to be such instruments of his grace in my wife and I's life shortly after I got saved. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, you can tell, get a little excited with this, and I thank the Lord for it. Salvation, so wonderful. Conversion, such a wonderful experience. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, I'm telling you, friend, you never want to go back to the old ways. Oh, I've got flesh too. My flesh longs for the wrong things, just like yours does. But thank God there's a new man. There's a new nature. We have a new life. And this is what Saul of Tarsus experienced on the Damascus Road. Sure, he's just a babe in Christ right here. He's going to have to go into the city and find out what God would have for him to do. As I said on the previous broadcast, sometimes it's hard for us to wait, but God knows how much we can receive and how much we cannot receive. And when the time is right and our spiritual capacity is right, then God will give us what he wants us to have. You see, this is all strange to the natural man. I'm speaking about the unsaved man. For the Bible says, "For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritual discerned." Not a matter of intellectual capacity, it's a matter of spiritual capacity. Only when you come to know the Lord, you have this capacity. God gives you a capacity to understand his great truth, his great word. Now, in verse 5, Saul asked the first question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And remember, no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Saul has met Jesus, he's saved, and now by his marvelous grace, the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in his heart. We're past Pentecost now, and since Pentecost, dear friend, everybody who is saved receives the Spirit of God into their heart and life. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Boy, that'd be a great lesson for people to learn. People that the Spirit of God is convicting and they keep kicking against it and kicking against it. They get upset when somebody prays for them. They get upset when somebody witnesses to them. But I want to tell you, dear friend, I hope you'll learn just like Saul did, that it's hard to kick against the pricks. And the Holy Spirit has a way of pricking us, does he not? He has a way of prodding us. He has a way of convicting us. Verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And so here's the second question. The first question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the second question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, dear friend, we can stop and camp out here for a long, long time. We probably won't do that, but these are the two most important questions as we come to the Lord. First of all, that we know who he is and that we trust him as our Lord and our Savior. He is very God of very God. He is Emmanuel. He's God in the flesh. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we must realize that He has a definite and distinct purpose for each of His children. Now, there's some things that we all should do. All God's people ought to be faithful to pray and read their Bible and give their tithes and be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church, follow the Lord in believers' baptism. All those things are certainly true, and they fit every child of God. But then there are certain things that God would have us to do that is not common among other believers. He has ministries for us. The Holy Spirit of God has a number of administrations, and He assigns each of us to what He would have for us to do. And it's so important. And by the way, let me just say, though this is not part of this, that's why it's so important that you make your church membership a matter of vital importance. First of all, never join a church if you're not saved. Be sure you're saved, you follow the Lord and believers baptism. Then ask God to guide you to the local church He wants you in, because every local church is distinct, just like every individual is distinct. And while there are some things that every church should do, we should evangelize, we should edify the saints, but carrying out those ministries, carrying out those missions, has particular and peculiar aspects, and God will lead the right people to those ministries. Let me just give you an example. The Lord laid it on our hearts years ago to start a missionary aviation, a ministry aviation ministry. Now, there's no question that God led us in that. Not too long after that, after much prayer and waiting, I'll not go into the details, God literally gave, or He appropriated to Himself, an airport for the ministry. I said an airport. I'd sure like to have the time to give you the story behind that. Well, if you're going to have an aviation ministry and it's going to be a local church ministry, then you have got to have people who are qualified in aviation. There are those who have radio ministries. And if God has given a church or a ministry, a radio ministry, then there has to be engineers, there have to be people who can take care of those ministries. And then there are medical ministries. You understand what I'm saying. And so it's so important that we know where God wants us and that we be where we should be doing what He wants us to do. His first question was, Lord, who art thou? And His second question was, Lord, what would thou have me to do? His first instruction was simple, and usually it will be. Our first instructions will usually be simple. And the Lord said, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Just take this first baby step. Take this first kindergarten step, and I'll lead you the rest of the way. The Bible says in verse 7, and this is as far as we'll get today, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now these men are unnamed. No doubt they were of the same persuasion as Saul of Tarsus. They were persecutors also. They were with him. They witnessed this whole thing. But according to the record, only one was converted, and that was Saul himself. They heard a voice, but that's as far as it went. Have you ever stopped to ponder or wonder what they said when they got back to their own crowd? The testimony they had about this strange change that happened to Saul and how he was stricken down on the road and all of a sudden he's a different man. Man, we don't know what in the world happened, but we were there and we saw it. And by the way, there's a tremendous truth for us here. Never expect the world to understand what happens in the life of a converted person. Never expect the world to understand what happens in the life of a converted person. You have family members, and you have friends, and you get saved, and they say, what in the world has happened to you? Man, you're not the same. And by the way, there's times when friends will write you off. There's times when families will write you off. They don't understand. They have no idea what has happened to you. And therefore, dear friend, they just simply say, we don't want anything to do with you anymore. I have found this out. I've got to say this in a hurry. As a child of God, you don't have to worry about dropping the wrong kind of friendship if you live for the Lord. You can be assured they will drop off. But thank God some will hear, and some will listen, and some will be saved. We'll continue this, God willing, on the next broadcast. In the meantime, may our Lord use us for his honor and glory.